Gentlemen, show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different. Come on,
feel the noise. I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight!
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am?
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is in deep trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core and somebody better do something about it. Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Todd, and Magic Matt here, doing our best to stay cool. Matt, do you have a thermostat in your room there?
I can look it up right now on the internet.
No. You're misunderstanding.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I do.
I want to know what it is inside your joint.
73.
73. That's a comfortable temperature. Now, Todd, we don't have a thermostat in here, if I'm not mistaken. But if I were to guess, what would you say?
I'd say it's damn hot.
78, 79, 80?
Oh, man, it's got to be 83 in here.
Somewhere in there. But honestly, it reminds me a little bit of the olden days and the old show. Remember the old show? We used to go down into a basement.
I do.
Laundry everywhere.
We were talking about it a moment ago.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really hot down there. And I can only imagine if it was 106 outside back then, which it never got to be 106, but I can only imagine what it would have felt like down there. It would have been at least 140 in the studio.
Well, that's because they would have been doing laundry while our shows were in production.
This is true. This is true. That was always a problem as well. So while it is warm in here, I am wearing jeans. It's not near as bad as it could be. Jackalope Radio, a completely different story than what it was like back in the old days. And as we just said here before we started the show, truth be told, Jackalope Radio, our new motto is, hey, at least your show aired.
That's right.
So it may not have aired in its entirety, may have been cut off, may have been bounced around a little bit, but hey, your show aired. It's hot as balls in here.
And be happy.
Yeah. Man.
Thank you. Thank you, by the way, for the hot as balls phrase. Now I can't get it out of my head. I've never heard anybody say it. Now it's been like over 100 degrees every day for the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Every time I go outside, I'm like, oh, it's hot as balls out here.
And yes.
Then I'm like, oh, damn it, Brad.
I am so glad I'm rubbing off on you. I'm sure that your children and wife would love to hear you say that.
I got to watch myself, yeah.
I can imagine. Probably.
I can't talk to anybody for like 2 hours after we do the show.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Very, very, very sorry.
I'm not.
No, neither. Well, you have no filter. You don't. Which brings me to a quick question. I want to ask a Batman here, Todd, a couple of questions. We're not going to make fun of this at all because it's a terrible, terrible thing. And if we go on to the subject, we'll get on soapboxes and we'll go for an hour about this entire situation. But obviously, a major tragedy that happened last week in Aurora, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
And I want to know, though, more than anything, and I know Matt's thinking this too. Todd, how disturbed are you as to how it affects the third movie of the trilogy of the Dark Knight series? How does it affect the Dark Knight Rises movie?
Well, It did cause box office to drop about 30%, which sucked, because that's a lot of money, actually. But more than that, I want to send out condolences to the families and the people that were injured, because, dude, that sucked. And it would have been any movie.
Yeah.
And I need to make that clear, too, because if Batman would have been in December, this would have been Spider-Man, or it would have been the Avengers. It would have been any big summer movie that there's a lot of people going to see. These guys that stood in line were Batman fans, so it disturbs me greatly. They stood there for 9 hours in the heat to see their favorite superhero. And let me just say this, Christian Bale went and saw everybody yesterday in the hospital. I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to work out. But it has been very difficult this first weekend. really, really hurt The Dark Knight, and it's unfair because it's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
But I'm going to give you 50% credit for your answer there. 50% of what you said was good. The other 50% is the fact that it really, I don't give a crap what kind of bearing it has on The Dark Knight at all. So technically, I really don't care that it
yeah,
affects
but see,
The Dark Knight.
I love it in my heart.
I know you do, but I love life.
I lived
than,
to see that movie.
No, I love life more than I love Christian Bale. Well, we all know I don't like Christian Bale that much anyway, but
I agree with you, and I think it's horrible that that happened to those people, and I think it's great that he went out there. You
if
know?
Nobody goes to see The Dark Knight Rises at all for the rest of its run, I don't care.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
Matt, do you care?
No, I don't care.
No, see, I
want to know why I care?
I don't care.
It's one of the reasons I lived.
You know what, though? I finally saw it last night.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't as good as the last one.
It wasn't made for you.
Oh, hey, I'm into those movies as much as anybody else, and
it wasn't made for you!
It just wasn't. You know what? You know what, Todd? Try this one on for size. I even like the new Spider-Man better than
Oh, get a job in a sideshow!
Oh, wow! Oh,
boy,
wow.
Suddenly Matt has no sound.
See,
what's that echo? Why am I echoing?
Let me just close it with this. It's funny because, as I said, I have not seen neither Spider-Man nor The Dark Knight Rises. And I, you know, with all due respect to the Batman fan here in the room, I love Batman. These Dark Knight movies have not really grabbed me. They just have. I mean, I've watched them. They're pretty good movies. I like them, but they're not. They don't make my balls swell.
No fair. I don't have a buzzer.
Well, that's because I am the king of this show.
That's okay, because my balls swell enough for all three of us.
All right. That's enough. All right, we're done.
I could float in an ocean.
Obviously, the entire Westmar Nation sends out their prayers and condolences to the families and those that were injured and also lost loved ones in that particular mess. And one more question about it as it relates to Batman. Does it bother you that this guy thought he was the Joker with orange hair?
Actually,
because
I talked to the police department. That was untrue.
Okay.
Actually called them for Night Watch, and he actually never claimed to be the Joker. It was a newspaper article. Once again, the great journalist who also said it was the AMC theater that this happened at, not the Cinemark.
Okay. Okay. I believe you, so then it's okay to call. And by the way, I've been one of our friends on, and a couple of our friends actually that have been on the show before on Twitter. My buddy. And also our good friend whose name I can't remember what name we used for when she called in a couple weeks ago, Mary Sunshine. Yes, they both wanted me to stop using this guy's name on Twitter. So I've been tweeting a lot about the massacre and about this guy. And so we need to come up with a name. And I guess Ronald McDonald would be okay because that's kind of what he looks like with that hair.
Yeah, he's a douche.
No kidding. So let's move on from there. Let's talk about something more fun. A couple of weeks ago on the show, maybe even been last week, I can't recall, we talked a little bit, Matt, about how you and I may be the only sane people at Jackalope Radio. We're the only ones that don't get all Queenie drama on people, right?
It seems like it.
It seems, and it seems to continue.
Oh, thank you for that, man. Thank you.
Because you found yourself, Todd, in the middle of more messes, and do you want to give people, without naming names, just give our listening audience a quick, because let's be honest, nobody else at Jackalope listens to the show, so could you please just go ahead and give us a brief overview of what happened? Just give me a quick 30-second breakdown. 1, 2, 3, go.
It was a pain in the butt, and it sucked.
come on.
You told me a quick 30 seconds. I was trying.
You got to fill me in better, because
actually, what happened was there was late. There was a little, sorry about that, I didn't mean to step on you. There was a little bit of a problem with people who couldn't get along. They argued. We had a hack happen at the station on Saturday night. Someone actually hacked into the station, changed our front page to a lady flipping people off, and said, "You've been blitzed." So blame started shooting around, and people got into arguments about it, and it was just, it's only a handful. I mean, out of all the people we work here on the station with, you got four or five people who had to argue, and I got stuck in the middle, so I canceled Saturday nights.
Can I tell them who it's not? But surprisingly,
it's not you.
Surprisingly, who it's not?
It's not Jason.
It's not Jason Oblivion, and it's not Josh or Scott.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still making me crazy.
You guys can go ahead and talk amongst yourselves if you want to. I'm going to have some peanut butter goo. So
I noticed that. He's out there eating.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone in the world knows he's eating.
Dude, this is live radio. Put it away.
I think you got a mute button?
Are you sure that Matt's audio is loud enough? Because
he's quite loud.
All right. Just want to make sure. You're watching the levels.
I am.
No, you know what you're doing.
I do.
Can I eat? Is that okay?
No.
You guys go ahead. No?
No.
Okay.
No, I am starving.
Oh.
Put that away before I come out there and pound on something.
I'm sorry. Well, see, the other problem is I've got it left open on the studio table, which means it's going to get tons of hair and crumbs in it.
Put a lid on it.
All right. I guess I could.
We've got a lid sitting right there.
Anyway, well, why don't you shut up for a little bit, and I'm going to tell Matt some stories, some bedtime stories.
Okay, do it.
Okay? All right.
You just told me to talk.
All bedtime stories with Brad.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you shut up for a little while. Matt, we'll talk. You feel free to turn your microphone off, too, so I don't hear you breathing or squeaking or tapping on the computer. I'll let you know when I want to talk to you again, okay?
Golly. I'm abused.
Yeah, just go ahead. Turn. Thank you. Is it off? Okay, good.
It's off.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Magic Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to be back in Kansas City, although it was actually warmer in Kansas City when I was in Dallas last week, which is strange. And as usual, you know I've always got some little stories that I thought you might.
Of course. Yeah. That's what I said to you right away.
Yeah, you did. You knew I'd have something. And at first, I wasn't sure anything was going to happen. But the very first thing that happened, which is really a silly little thing, was first night I fall asleep and I have this really strange Starbucks dream. I don't know why. I drink Starbucks coffee by the gallon every morning when I am in Dallas. And this was even before I went to Starbucks for the first time. And it was just a really weird dream. It was like I'd ordered a coffee and I went to the restroom. And I came back and our good friend Grant Thompson, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
He
of course.
He showed up. And he was there with my coffee. And by the time I got back, my coffee, it was messed up. It just wasn't good coffee anymore. I don't know if it was just watered down or what had happened. And Grant was there, and Grant claimed that he didn't do anything to it. And I didn't really know for sure if he was telling me the truth or not. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to take this back. I mean, what's this cost him? A dime, 15 cents to make? They charged me $2.50.
Right.
You know, could you please give me another coffee? Long story short, I got into an argument with the Starbucks person because they wouldn't replace my coffee for free. That was my dream. Yeah. It was dumb.
What a horrible dream.
Horrible dream. I woke up in a bloody sweat. It was horrible. It was horrible. And I was a little bit nervous about going to Starbucks that morning, too, but everything turned out okay. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I also, by the way, Magic Matt, I forgot to tell you the 24 story before we started the show. So remind me after the show. I don't want to tell it on the air.
Oh, it's an off-air story?
Yeah, it's an off-air story because I don't want to bore the... Yeah, I mean, you know, about a show that took place, you know, 7 years ago or 8 years ago.
You don't think people are on the edge of their seats going,
I don't think so.
What's Brad going to say about season 3 of 24?
Exactly, I don't think so. So
okay.
We'll do it off the air.
All right.
But what I did do the first or second night that I was there, besides put myself into a food coma, which I did about every night, is I sat down with my iPad and I decided to watch a movie on Netflix online. And I had this one movie in my Q. Call it the Q or the K? I think it's the Q.
Q. Q. It's Q.
Yeah. But if you're Hispanic, it's K.
Okay.
Right?
K.
Q-U-E, right? K?
I didn't take Spanish.
Well, let's check in with our Hispanic people.
Si, senor. Would you like to tell me how to say Q-U-E?
It's very easy. It's just a K.
Yes, K.
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 Thank you. That'll be it. Thank you. get back to you in a little bit. So I decided I had this movie in there for a while. I've always been a big Ryan. Hang on. I need to take a drink now.
Brad has always been a big Ryan Reynolds fan.
Thank you, Jim Nance.
You're welcome.
the grassy knoll. That's one thing I didn't do. I thought I was going to do it. I wanted to go to the grassy knoll. I wanted to check out the Kennedy assassination site for the first time. And when I got there, I thought it was free to park, and I saw that it was $4. Now, here's the thing. I'm not cheap, and I could have charged it to the company. Okay, but it was 5 o'clock, and I'm like, you know what? I was really only planning on spending maybe a half an hour just kind of checking it out just by myself for a little while. I was like, I'm not spending $4 to do it, so I didn't go do it. But
okay,
sometime soon, it'd be kind of nice to do it with somebody than by yourself. I was going to take some pictures and some video and stuff, but I decided not to. So, what are you making noises about in there? What?
It would be nice to do it with somebody instead of by yourself.
It's fun. Hey, look, so it's fun to do it by yourself sometimes, too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, either way you can get it, you do it. when you feel like it. As Jim Croce always said, if you dig something, do it. If you really dig it, do it twice. So, but anyway, Ryan Reynolds had a movie out a few years ago called Buried. And have you seen this movie?
No, I haven't seen it, but I saw the trailer for it.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. We may even go to Todd if he can remain calm, but because he's got a thumbs up in there. So, but I've always been a Ryan Reynolds fan since the days of Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, because he was fabulous on that show. His character, Berg, was funny as hell, and he delivered the lines like there was no tomorrow. Did you remember that show, too?
Yeah, I watched it a few times. Yeah. Not every week, but
yeah, it was
enough.
A good. I loved it. Great show. And some people came out of that. The guy who plays Castle on that TV show, Castle, was on that show the last few seasons as
was he really?
Yeah, well, as the girl's boyfriend. I can't remember her name. Sharon. Sharon's boyfriend is it that guy who played
Nathan Fillion? Is it?
There
is
you go.
It?
Could be. Don't know. Don't watch it. Don't know. But I bet you do.
Yes.
You watch Castle.
I watch Castle.
Okay.
It's a good show.
I'm sure it is. I've heard good things. And the other famous person that came out of that was, Ryan Reynolds. So anyway, so I thought I'm going to watch this movie. And as I'm starting it, I'm like, do I remember correctly? Does he actually stay in this box this entire hour and 40 minute movie? And Matthew, he does.
Really?
The entire movie takes place inside this box, or at least it's filmed to make you believe that he's inside this box. And we're going to go ahead and give Todd a couple minutes to say, no, sorry, 30 seconds or less to say something. Go ahead, Todd.
I thought it was a pretty great movie considering it had like one actor in a box.
Yeah. No, it really was a pretty good movie considering, and quite frankly, kind of morbid. It's kind of a morbid movie, and you can't help but put yourself in this position. And he's really good, actually. So not a bad movie, but one of the things about that movie, Matt, that I was reminded of, and you might not remember this, but I think a lot of people probably do that have been radio fans for a long time. Radio stations have always done stunts and stuff, and they're always trying to come up with something new or silly. And, you know, this show talks about doing it, but nobody would come, nobody would care, nobody would donate money. So why do that kind of stuff on a pretend radio show? So, but back in the day when you and I were living in Sioux City together and I was working at KG95, and you probably weren't working there yet, but there was a guy there named Brian Zepp. And Brian Zepp is still around in radio. He's on some morning show or something nowadays. And he was one of those guys, had this big, husky, hey, it's Brian Zepp kind of voice, but he was about 4'11" and 25 pounds. And so, like, when you met him, you're like, you're Brian Zepp. Yeah. And it's like, he really talks that way, you know? And it's like, that voice comes out of that little body. It's amazing, you know? And
like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Yes. Or like Danny Parkins here in town. So it's kind of funny, though. Anyway, he did this stunt for the station where they, quote unquote, buried him alive. They put him in basically a coffin for the most part, a box, a cardboard box, no bigger than a coffin. And he stayed in there for, I honestly don't know how many days it was, but he was in there for several days to raise money for some telethon or some kind of, you know, charity, whatever it was. They didn't really put him 6 feet under, but they did put some dirt over him and some other stuff. He had a ventilation system. He had a Gatorade bottle to go pee in. You know, he had, what was he eating, Twinkies or saltine crackers or something like that. But he was in there for days.
No thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought it was the coolest and yet the most weirdest thing I'd ever seen. This was before I think this was right before I started in radio making money. It was probably around 1990 or so, 91, something like that, 89, 90, 91. And the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking, yeah, I don't think I could do that. I mean, because there's just no way out, you know?
No, I'm not necessarily claustrophobic, but that would just kind of the thought of it makes your palms sweat.
Yeah.
Freaks you out a little bit. That's why we haven't seen, I thought Buried looked like a good movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to see it, but Stacy's a little bit on the claustrophobic side, so we've never seen it because of that.
Yeah, I think you should watch it by yourself sometime if you get a chance, because I think you'd like it. It's a pretty good movie. It's not great, but it's not bad. Yeah.
Kind of a bummer, though.
No, it is
a bummer.
I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, if you told me it, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll figure it out on my own.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that whole trickery thing either, but when you come out and you stink and you probably need to poop and, you know, it's just not a good thing. And you haven't showered in days and your hair is all greasy and, you know, the only thing... Yeah.
It might have been really entertaining, though, to have you in that box back then.
You think?
Like 30 minutes, you're just completely flipping out.
Well, that's what would happen. I think he started to get a little bit flippy there towards the latter part of it when he'd go on the air, because he'd broadcast and do a show from in there. And yeah, you're right. The ramblings may get kind of interesting for me. Yeah, good point. I hadn't thought about that. But now another thing that happened that I think you will appreciate was me and William, my employee down there, were out in the neighborhood making sales calls, and you know what I do. And if I need to find the special music just to remind people what I do, and for some reason I've got so many freaking things on here now, it's
hello,
you know what I do. So
it's your drug dealer.
Sure do, Walt.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that, because we were on the south side of Dallas, which is not the best part of town. Okay. We had to stop and get gas. And you know where the south side of Dallas is, Todd. You probably grew up there. And
no, he knows a guy, though.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Oh, yeah. He probably called him. Yeah. Earlier for a show. Yeah.
He was on Night Watch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we had to go to a gas station. We got to the gas station, and William's like, oh, this is kind of a seedy part of the neighborhood. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. And I go, of course, I've got to pee, because I have to pee constantly. And I mean, that's just the way I am. I drink tons of water and I go to the bathroom a lot. So I was like, I'm going to have to go in there and hopefully there's a public bathroom to let me in. I said, you know, sometimes you go to these places and they lock the doors on the bathroom and don't let you in unless you go up to the counter and ask for a key, which is kind of embarrassing. I'd rather hold it, you know?
Yeah.
So as I was about to walk in, he said, hey, he goes, you might want to, you know, use your Breaking Bad walk when you walk in there. He said, you probably don't want to walk in there like a normal Joe with all these, guys. I mean, there was a lot of different types of people there, as you might imagine. There were some of these, you know. There was probably a couple of these. And then also there was, of course...
Hello,
you know,
dear.
Exactly. So there was a melting pot of people here at this gas station. He's like, you know, you might want to turn on your, and I had already introduced him to the name. He doesn't watch Breaking Bad, but I said, you know, Walter White. You might want to get, because he said, you kind of look like Walter White. You got the bald head, you know, you put those sunglasses on, you got some facial hair. He's like, you kind of give us a little bit of a Walter White vibe. So you might want to go ahead and put your Breaking Bad walk on. I said, you know what? That's not a bad idea. I'm going to go ahead and walk here from the gas pump into the station with my chest out a little bit more, get the good stride going, you know, and keep the arm swing to the right minimum. You know, you want to get it all right. And so I did, Matt. I got the walk started, and I started walking towards the gas station looking for the pisser, you know. And everything's going good. And then suddenly in the middle of my walk, I get this guy comes up to me in the middle of my walk, just completely destroys, you know. I mean, it was sad because here I am. I'm in the mood. You know, it's like, got this thing going on. I'm walking, creeping up to the gas station. And then out of nowhere, I get this guy comes up to me and goes,
hello, dear.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm in the middle of my walk is what I'm thinking. Now...
Oh, the mood has been ruined.
It gets funnier because I don't break stride as this guy is talking to me. So basically, you know, at the same time, I'm walking and I'm doing this and I turn towards him and this guy's like, you know, I didn't break stride. So this guy's talking to me while I'm still doing the Breaking Bad walk.
Hello, I said hello, Dan.
Exactly. See, that's pretty much what it was like, you know. Here's the funny part. He goes, yo, man, what's up? Look at you. You've got the walk down. He's like, he said, you have the best walk. You are the man. You are the man. You got the walk down. You are looking good, man. You got it. I'm like, are you kidding me? He actually recognized. I mean, he like.
For real?
I kid you not. This is not a joke. I am. I'm jokingly in my head playing the Breaking Bad theme music in my head, doing this walk that is about like my normal walk, but you know, I mean, I'm just a little bit more confident than normal because you don't want them to see the whites of your eyes.
Right.
You know? So the guy noticed the walk of confidence. I kid you not, this black guy comes up to me and starts jive talking me about how awesome my walk was and how I was a badass and all this stuff.
Nice.
I couldn't help but just laugh at him and shake my head and shake his hand and thank him and went inside and leaked. And that was about it. And I came back and told William. And I go back to tell William about this. And even stranger is he's getting a sales pitch from a guy who's got his little setup outside the gas station trying to sell some kind of Armor All to wipe down your truck and make it look nice and shiny. And this guy's giving him the whole rundown and everything. And I come out, and I'm still standing for 10 more minutes. The guy's giving him the whole, you know, the pitch. And I think it started off with the sell price. It was like $30 for two cans. Then it went down to $25 for two cans. Then it was down to $15 for two cans. I mean, I think we got him down to $12 for one can or something like that. But William still didn't want to buy it, so he didn't buy it. So it was very strange. Just a lot of weird things going on there. And by the way, celebrity that the guy who was selling the Armor All most resembled?
What's that?
David Blaine. Hey. Oh. Hey, everybody, this is David.
Are you sure it wasn't him?
This is David Blaine, and I'm here to sell you my Armor All. If you wipe this on the car, you'll disappear. It's awesome. You know, that's
a pretty good David Blaine.
Thank you. I also do a very good Chris Angel. You can do Chris Angel together. Chris Angel, and then David Blaine. I'm here. And they bury me in a block of ice.
For yeah. KG95.
For KG95, Brian Zepp's going to broadcast it live. It'd be great. Yeah. I can't wait to do it. I want to be in there with you. This is Chris Angel. That's how Chris Angel talks. He talks like he's got fangs. I don't know.
Yeah, he does.
Do you have a preference there, Todd? Do you like Chris Angel more or David Blaine?
I think I'd have to go with David Blaine so it's not gay. Yes.
Probably a good point. I probably deserve to play
gay,
that.
Gay, 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 gay.
So, true story though. Walter White walk noticed by a guy. It was just like that. I mean, it was literally the song is in my head, and then suddenly I get this. Yo, man, what's up? You got the walk down. You are the man. Look at you. You are the toughest son of a bitch on the block. Woo! Yeah,
that's great.
It was awesome. I was actually pretty proud. That meant that I knew what I was doing with the walk.
You've been paying close attention.
Apparently so. Apparently so. I love that show. And I haven't watched an episode in like 2 weeks, but I still love it. You know why I haven't? Look, we talked about it before a million times. Okay?
Yeah.
It's like a record you like a CD that you like.
Yep.
You get it and you're afraid you're going to burn it. It's like Jedi Superstar's latest record. I don't play it too much because, well, first of all, it's long and I don't ever have enough time to listen to it all in one sitting. But second of all, because I don't want to burn myself out on it too fast. Right, Matt?
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of that was my mentality with it when I first started. But now that season 5 started, and I have 2 of them on the DVR now.
Yeah.
And I'm like so worried that something's going to get ruined.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to burn through the rest to catch up.
Well, I'm with you. I'm ready to end season 3. So yeah, Breaking Bad is awesome. If you're not watching Breaking Bad, I don't know what the hell your problem is.
Shame on you.
Shame on all of you for not watching Breaking Bad. Damn it. I'm not sure if I like Walt better or if I like Jesse better. Or I know you like Hank. So
Hank's my favorite.
Yeah. Now,
but
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I have nothing to say. Go ahead.
No, but I do waver between Jesse and Walt though. Sometimes like, oh man, Jesse, you know, if you made me choose.
Yeah, Jesse, you're
in order behind Hank.
It'd be tough.
Yeah.
It would be tough. Well, anyway, so one more thing I wanted to mention about my trip to Dallas, which by the way, I didn't start my timer tonight, Todd, so I'm going to have to rely on you with timing, which is really going to be interesting because usually you start end the show at 45 minutes. So one more thing that happened. Matt, I have a bad, bad, bad time picking grocery lines, whether I'm at Walmart or Target or at the grocery store at Hy-Vee. You see all these lines. And, of course, when you're at Walmart, there's about three too few lines that are open in the first place. And
yep.
Always way too many people in line. But you always have to be strategic about which one you're picking. I mean, you have to pick out who is checking out. Is it somebody in their 80s? Is it somebody young? Is it somebody who looks a little lazy? Is it somebody who looks like they're moving slow or fast? Who is the person who's checking you out or going to check you out if you go in this line? And also, who's in front of them? Who's in front of you in the line? How old are they? Is it possible they might write a check? You always have to keep that in mind, because if they write a check, it takes three times as long. Okay. How many things do they have? Okay. I'm not the kind of guy to pick out people who have too many things in the express lane, because it's kind of potato-potato. I mean, it's like you could argue about it, but, that's fine. So, I mean, sometimes if I've only got three things or one thing, I still won't necessarily go to the express lane if they're looking like they're a bitch,
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a Kroger's in Dallas, in the special part of town there in the Oak Lawn.
Gay.
The Oak Lawn area. And it's funny because you go back to, my trips to Snooki's, and there's plenty of gay bars around there. And it doesn't bother me that much because, gay is gay. It doesn't bother me. But this was an interesting situation this time, because these kinds of things don't happen to you in Sioux City, Iowa. And really, they don't happen in Kansas City, Missouri very much either. Maybe in KCK, but definitely not in Kansas City, Missouri very often. So I decided to go ahead. I have bad luck. It doesn't matter what line I pick, no matter where I go, I've done something stupid once I get to the cash register or before I get to the cash register. The line will look like it's moving fast. I'll get in line. I'll be stuck. And then something happens. Price check, aisle 4. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to be here forever. Every single time I pick the line. So this time I picked the line. I'm like, hey, you know what? This looks like it's going pretty fast. I've just got a few things here. I'll just pull my cart right in here. And as soon as I committed, there's that point where you can't turn away. I mean, if you're going to pick the line, once you go, you've committed. You've got to go. You can't turn around. And you especially can't turn around if you're afraid that the reason you're turning around is obvious. Okay. And in this particular situation, the reason was obvious. I could not turn around. But as soon as I pulled in, I'm like, OMG, what have I just done to me? The guy or girl, at that particular moment, I wasn't sure if it was a man or a woman checking out in the lane that I had just committed to. This was a person around medium height, normal body looking type, not fat, not skinny. Hair pulled back in a high ponytail.
Oh.
Kind of like a samurai thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the part that was confusing was the massive amounts of colorful eyeshadow. And so what's the very first thing you do? I'm going to ask you, Matt, because I know Todd knows the answer. Matt, what's the very first thing you do when you can't tell if you are about to come in contact with a man or a woman?
Do you have to do anything?
No. You got to
ignore them.
No. You've got to figure out if they're a man or a woman, at least biologically. You want to at least know what you're dealing with here. Are you dealing with a woman who's trying to be a man, or are you dealing with a man who's trying to be a woman, or are you just dealing with somebody who thinks it's Halloween in July? What are you dealing with here? Well, how do you I'm going to ask Todd, because Matt, you must not know the answer. Todd, how do you figure out if you're dealing with a man or a woman?
You ask them a question.
Oh, for God's sakes. Are you guys really that dumb? Come on. I love you guys, but you can't be that stupid.
Actually, I look at the Adam's apple.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad, but you should really be looking at something else, Matt.
I was going to say Adam's apple. I know where you were steering the question.
I'll just say the word you don't want to say because you're such a God-fearing man. Boobs. You got to check for boobs. Check for a bra. At the very least, check for a bra strap.
Well, is that always going to give you the answer?
Well, it's going to give you some kind of an answer.
Well,
okay.
So does the eyeshadow.
Well, I got news for you. The voice sure didn't tell me anything, because the voice was exactly where you'd think it would be. It was like that cross between Maude and Jim J. Bullock. So, I mean, it was like, it was the boobs that gave it away. This is a man who's trying to be a woman in some way, shape, or form. I'm 99.9% sure. So, it gets better.
Okay.
It gets better because we had a conversation.
Oh,
but I didn't have much of a choice. I mean, I'm there. I got to get my things, checked out, And at this point, I'm nervous only because, again, as I said, I'm not homophobic, but I don't generally come across people who look like this unless I'm at Gay Pride. you know, and that kind of stuff I'm used to, but I'm not used to it in the grocery store in Dallas, Texas. And so I put my things there, and I what happened? Oh, he asked me if I had a Kroger's card. I'm going to call him he. I probably should call him a shim, a she him, you know, a she he. But we're going to call her a him because I'm pretty sure that it's a him. So,
oh Lord,
very interesting stuff here. So he says, "Do you have a Kroger's card?" I said, "No, I don't." And he goes, "Oh, you're not from here?" And I said, "No. Well, where are you from?" It's like, Kansas City, but I'm wearing the right thing. And I, you know, made motion to my Dallas Cowboys T-shirt that I was wearing at that particular moment. And she said, "Oh, I think we've had this conversation before, haven't we?" And I'm like, "No, we've never spoken before. No, I think you must have me confused with somebody else." To which my wife said, when I told her later, Christy goes, "Maybe you did have a conversation with him the last time you were in Kroger's, but he was dressed as a man." And I said, "You know, that could be. I really don't.
Not a bad point.
Yeah, I really don't know. You never know for sure." So as he has bagged my groceries and I think put them back in the cart, you know how like you think in your head what you're going to say next before you say it? You kind of actually say it in your head before you say it out loud. I'm glad that I did that this particular time and caught myself, because as I was about to grab the cart from he/she, I was just about to say, "Thank you, sir." And then I thought, maybe just "thank you" will be enough. And that's what I said, just in case, you know?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was a true story. Both of those stories, true. Weird things happen. I don't ask them to happen, but it happens.
They have a wonderful way of finding you.
They do. They do. Ex-wives and everything. So, yeah. We're not going to talk about that. Not today.
All right.
Yeah, not today. Let's take a break, because when we come back, we got to talk about something really important that I know Matt has been dying to learn about. We talked about it several weeks ago on the show. We're going to talk about Asian massage parlors.
Finally.
Yes, I know you're going to love this. So let's take a break, and I'm going to eat some peanut butter goo, and we'll be right back.
The Brad Westmar Show. We'll be right back.
Got road rage again. Some mother cut me off again. Take your phone and shove it up your my friend. Son of a, I've got road rage again. Got road rage again. Some stupid driving a minivan. Baby on board, but I just don't give a damn. I'll flip her off, I got road rage again. Got road rage again. There's a million holes on the highway. Go yourself, my friends, and get your fat out of my way, or you'll pay. Got road rage again. I can't be late for work again. I think I'm madder than I've ever been. Off and die, I got road rage again.
It's all freeway, baby. The Brad Westmar Show.
Excuse me. Welcome back.
Hang on, Lord. Here. Sounds like a zombie feast out there.
Everything sounds like zombie to you.
Especially the echo.
Make sure you keep this. You should be recording this, Todd, for if you need any sound effects for your next movie.
True.
Could you? Oh, you did turn. My God. I score 1 point for Todd. He turned the echo off before I had to tell him.
Man.
Thank you. Now, I'm not going to tell you how I came across this, but
no, yes, I want to know how you came across this. I think we all do.
No. Okay. There was actually a radio show that has been very influential on me and this show over the last 7 years. During my hiatus between the Wild Wild Westmar show and this show, they happened to get on the subject on the West Coast about Asian massage parlors. So that's really where this came from.
Okay.
And I used Google to my advantage to learn more. Because I am just that kind of guy, Matt. You know, I like to learn about things. Despite the fact that I'll never use this knowledge, of course, for anything, I wanted to learn a little bit about Asian massage parlors and how they work. So, and I would like to educate you and our listening audience, if you do not mind. What I've came across was a Randy's Guide to Asian Massage Parlors online. This was written a little over a year ago. So when I found it online, it wasn't, it may have been, I don't know. Apparently I found this after after the show started here a year and a half ago. But anyway, so I don't know, maybe he's updated it since then. I don't know. But this is Randy's Guide to Asian Massage Parlors. I'm going to have to read it kind of slow. And I know that what all the old show fans are thinking, and it's funny because Todd and I were just talking about this character from the old show before we started tonight, before Matt got here. I know that the old show people are thinking that I should read this in an Asian voice of possibly a character that used to be on the old show. But I can't do an Asian voice for 1, 2, 3, 4 and a half pages. It's not going to happen. So bear with me here, Matt. This is your educational lesson. And Todd, you as well. We need you to listen because I know you've been to a couple of Asian massage parlors in your life. This is Randy's Guide to Asian Massage Parlors. And of course, we can't do something like this without a little bit of background music, right? So, yeah. So Randy says, I've been visiting AMPs, that's what they called for short, Asian Massage Parlors, AMPs, for years now, having gotten my first taste as a schoolboy in an Asian country. While they don't always deliver a 100-year flood kind of experience, they are great for their availability, cost, and general quality. Numerous people have commented about bad experiences in AMPs, but I believe that in the large, they just didn't know how to go about getting what they wanted. Out of literally hundreds of visits, I've had only one bad experience. She thought I was a cop or something in an AMP, and the mama-san wanted to make it up to me. Now, here's a disclaimer. This guy does not encourage you to take part in any illegal activity. So, make sure we clarify that here. Here's the setup, according to Randy and his guide to Asian massage parlors. AMPs everywhere are amazingly similar in their structure and operation. It usually consists of a small entry area with a services/prices sign, a doorbell button, and a small window. Inside, it's usually a worn of corridors and small rooms. Some, like a place called Golden Flower in San Francisco, have a waiting area inside where you can pick out your girl. They often have a separate exit where you can leave and avoid the next guy coming in. So that's good to know. Costs, okay? Your mileage will vary, but typically the basic service, a massage and a body shampoo, will cost as little as $40 for a half an hour to $80 for an hour. There are lots of variations, so you will need to think on your feet. I prefer to opt for the lower cost entry fee and give more tip money to the girl. Now, for additional services, you will negotiate with the girl for her tips. More coming on this later. Full service, if available, usually runs $100 to $120. For oral, it's usually $60 to $80, and a hand release is typically $40, but sometimes can be had for the basic package price. Okay. Many places have additional services like body shampoo, spa, hot tub, sauna, etc. These can be really great additions. For example, body shampoo can be very fun. It usually consists of her washing you all over, but is a great prelude to the off-menu extras, if you know what I'm saying. Your total price will often be affected by local pricing. San Francisco pricing is always a bit above the average. For example, Golden Flower girls usually ask for $140 to $160 for extras, meaning closer to $200 total. So you won't pay much below $140, but should never pay more than $200. The fancier the place, the higher the price. Now, I suggest you leave your wallet in your car or home or whatever. Take only enough money to cover what you want. She can't shake you down for money you don't have. Hmm? Makes sense. Now, getting in. Your first goal is to get past the entry area. You enter, ring the bell, and wait nervously while someone comes to greet you. It's often the mama-san. She usually weighs about 200 pounds and has an unfriendly demeanor. In some places, the next available girl greets you. Usually, she says, "What you want? What you want? What you want?" Todd, you can probably do that really good. What you want?
What you want?
No, he didn't do it that well. here's where you need to be creative. Your goal is to become her friend. So become the Mama-san's friend. If you know nothing about the place, ask for whatever appears to be their standard legit offering, like body shampoo or massage or hot towel wrap. You get the picture. Never ask for a service that isn't on the menu. I once asked for a massage, and they said, no, have massage. After some I got inside, but it was very uncomfortable. Never, ever ask for anything illegal. You'll be back on your way in no time flat. Also, you don't need to opt for the one-hour service. There appears to be little enforcement of the time. If you have read reviews and know a girl's name, ask for her by name. I usually try to pick a review that is old enough so there is a good chance she's not even there anymore. You will get something like, she not here now. I usually say, that's too bad. She was really nice. Then ask who else is available. A couple of times I've gotten the girl that I asked for. I just play along. She's probably seen hundreds of guys and she doesn't want to upset you, so she'll play along too. In either case, you will get the question, you've been here before. There is only one correct answer. Yes. Okay, it's a brand new place, maybe not. But still, normally, the reason for this is that they will often put you through a much more stringent test, but more importantly, you won't get their best girl. Repeat customers get the best service. That makes sense too. Okay, this is just business. This is standard business practice right here. Okay.
Maybe quite simple.
Yeah, maybe I'm in the wrong business. I don't know. hello. I'm your mama's son. This is often followed by who you see. Now be creative. Forgetting her name is always okay. Describe an average Asian woman. Be calm and deliver it smoothly. Unless you look like law enforcement, you won't get the third degree. One time I asked for a girl I'd seen and Mama-san said, nobody that name here. I just shrugged and said, I must be wrong about the name. I got in. At this point, you may be asked to pay for the service you selected. Sometimes they bring your change later, so don't be alarmed if they don't give it immediately. One thing that is very good is to give Mama-san a tip. $10 or $20 goes a long way towards making her like you and picking a better girl for you. I had one Mama-san really like me a lot. She'd hug me when I left, and I always got her best girls, all for a measly $20. Good investment, huh? Also, it doesn't hurt to let them see your tip money when you pay for the room. Just another signal that you are real. In some AMPs, the girl will take a lump sum payment for the room and extras at the start. That is always a good sign, but be aware that there is a risk that they aren't a full-service place. Never ever mention reviews on the internet or reviews or the internet. I've heard of guys being turned away at that point. These outfits want to fly under the radar, so any kind of publicity is bad in their minds. And also remember to smile at her. She's human. Here we go. Some more now about the room. Any questions so far, gentlemen? Anything? No? Okay.
No, are you speaking slow and left for Todd to write everything down okay?
I've got a copy for him. I got a special copy, yes, with the Batman logo at the top. Okay.
Good.
The room. Okay, so you made it past Mama-san. There are usually two possibilities. You get shown to a room or you get to make your girl selection. You can figure out how to pick a girl on your own. Just one thing, I never pick the prettiest girl unless the rest are total woofers. This is because all the guys pick her and you are much more likely to get great service from number two or three. She will then take you to the room. If you get shown to the room, it means Mama-san is making the selection for you or the girl that met you is yours. Okay, the room is usually about the size of a walk-in closet with a massage table, maybe a chair, and a little table to put stuff on. They all seem to have that St. Vincent de Paul ambiance. After some chit-chat, she will probably tell you to disrobe or get comfortable or something similar and then leave. Sometimes this is where the money for basic service gets taken. Once you are alone in the room, disrobe immediately. This is very important. Okay, getting naked is the first sign that you are a real customer. And it's okay to put a towel on, but let her see your business by being careless with the towel. This is essential to establishing a level of trust between you and her. At a new place, I will often take my tip money out and put it on the table. That's a good signal too. At some point, you will be offered a shower, body shampoo, or similar. You should take it. There are several reasons for this. Cleanliness is very important to Asians. If she washes you, it can be fun and help send the right signals. It helps to establish you as a real customer. Just don't forget to show me your business, Todd. Okay? test. Your girl will enter the room to start the basic service. It is critical that you let her know that you're a hobbyist. You should try to give her a hug at some point. Body contact is always a good way to send the right signals. I usually try to run my hands over her ass while hugging. Having an erection, she can notice, is very helpful as well. If it's a massage, you will lie on your stomach and she will start doing her thing. She will ask you questions. Who you see, where you live, where you work. They are designed to give her a sense of you. At this point, you need to be sending signals to her that you are looking for more than a massage. Here are some things that seem to work. Have yourself at full attention. Drop your hand down and rub her legs as she massages you. Make satisfied sounds when she rubs your behind. This guy gets pretty nasty, man. Hump your behind up every time she gets near it. I particularly like that kind of play, he says. She will often focus on it, and it can lead to some fun. And by the way, at that point, you probably passed the test. I've had some fun tests. One girl walked up to me as I sat on the massage table and pulled her shirt up. I buried my face in her chest, and we were off to the races. Sometimes the initial hug can turn into heavy foreplay. Just keep your wits about you, and don't hesitate to take some gentle liberties. This is much stronger than a strip club. Not that I've ever been to a strip club. Just saying. If I'd ever been to one, this seems a lot stronger than that would be. So, extras. Here we go, Matt. All right. And Todd, the part you've been waiting for.
The good part.
Yes.
Here comes the good part.
Yes. Oh, it's over. No. Assuming you have passed the test, she will ask you what else you want. Often this happens after she has done massaging your back and flips you over. I usually whisper in her ear, everything.
Oh,
I know.
It's so creepy.
I know. You know what's really bad is I can't help but imagine Todd doing this.
What?
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Yes. So after I tell her I want everything, then she will ask how much you want to pay. I often start at 80 and settle for 100. She will try for 120 or 140. They almost always settle for 100, but more popular girls can command a higher price. Girls in the fancier places always ask for more. Also, if you've been really nice, she may go a little easy on the price. Whatever you do, never pay 80 or more. Sorry, never pay 80 or more for less than full service. This changes their pricing structure, makes it hard to get good service at reasonable prices. Sometimes they don't even talk price. That means she trusts you. Make sure you compensate her fairly in that case. Sometimes the above dance gets cut short. She may decide that you are legit and go straight for the extras. I've had this happen a number of times, and while it makes it a little easier, I actually enjoy the dance. The good ones will often give you the basic service even if you got the extras up front. However, a fair number of girls want to move you along as soon as possible. Now, special situations here. Sometimes you will just get a girl that doesn't do extras. No amount of signals help. That's life. Don't be rude or angry. You should get the basic service you agreed on, though. Note that you may have sent the wrong signals. She will let you know if she's not available for extras by rejecting your signals. It will be obvious. However, they sometimes do this if they still aren't sure about you, so don't give up immediately. If you want special things like kissing, you will need to ask the girl about them when negotiating. Note that these are fairly rare, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Sometimes they give you a real hound. I've never had an absolute dog, but several, they weren't my type. So it's your right to say no and ask for someone else. So for a minute there, I thought he actually meant that they actually bring a dog into the room with him during this, and that would have been really kinky. But so he says, keep in mind that this doesn't always lead to getting a better looking woman, and in his opinion, almost never leads to a good experience. So he usually walks out in that case. So if you get a dog, just walk out. Forget about it, you know. But make sure you do the Breaking Bad walk. Sometimes they offer someone else at that point. Be nice about it and act sad, but not angry. They usually do want to keep you happy. So what about a visit from law enforcement? This happens from time to time. Given the structure, this is the part that scares Todd a little bit. Given the structure of how people gain admission, it's likely that this will not be a totally rude surprise, and you will have time to prepare for a visitor in your room. Stay calm. There is nothing illegal about getting a massage or sauna or whatever. This actually happened to me during, shall we say, a very inappropriate moment. There was a signal that I missed, but she didn't. I put a towel on and sat on the massage table for what seemed like an hour. The fellow that entered the room was polite and only asked me a few questions. I complained about not getting my massage yet, and he moved on. After they left, we finished up. There you go. Finding an AMP. We're almost done here. They are everywhere, he says. I've found them in every major North American city I've ever visited, and lots of smaller towns have them as well. A stroll through the phone book usually helps. You can usually tell by their name. It often is some Asian-sounding name. Some of them use words like spa, acupressure, sauna, massage, etc. in the name. Places that use terms like LMP, licensed massage provider, or your local equivalent typically aren't an AMP. Though I have visited a couple that had LMP on the side, they are usually in somewhat rundown buildings and strip malls and such. Typically, all the windows are curtained off and the outside lighting is dim. The internet is a great place to do your research. He names a few sites that the Erotic Review, Usenet, and numerous other sites have lots of good information. You'll be able to find places that have what you are looking for and even get girls' names. His current favorite AMP girl is one that he found just that way. Finally, he says, treat the ladies well. Please, please, please do not treat these girls badly. They are people and they have feelings. A lot of them are illegal aliens and spend nearly their entire time in America in the parlor. They sleep there, eat there, and work there. You will get a much better experience if you are kind to them. He says, finally, in conclusion, there are lots of great AMPs out there. Don't hesitate to try it out. I have no idea why anybody would ever want to do something like that. Todd, what do you think?
I think I'll pass. It sounds dangerous.
It does sound a little dangerous. Matt, thoughts?
We had a situation like that here in town not too long ago.
They expose it?
Well, there was an arrest made.
Shut it down?
No, the case got tossed because there wasn't enough evidence.
Tossed. That's funny.
You want to know the name of the place?
Sure.
Hong Chinese Massage.
Hong Chinese Massage. Was it on the west side?
Yeah, kind of.
Chinese?
Up on Hamilton.
Did it double as a Chinese buffet? Go in the back, you get the massage.
Yeah. It might have been.
Yeah, should we go in there? You want food, you want massage? You want food, you want massage? Food, massage. It's a mama-san right there, you know. See, yeah, they even have them in Sioux City, Iowa. You know?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. They are. And I've never been in one. I just want to make that clear. So, hey, how much time we got left?
One more time. I want to say it one more time.
Yeah.
Never been in one.
Never been in one. Ever.
Well.
I want.
You checking for time, really?
Wait a minute. One second. I want everything.
You really got to stop that.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Really creeping me out.
I'm sorry.
It's disturbing.
You know what? Let's not take a break. Before we end the show, though, I'll give you the high sign when I'm ready to. I'll give you the old high sign when I'm ready to end the show here. A couple of things instead of taking a break. Let's talk a little bit about fast food restaurants, because I again have another story relevant to this. I came across this thing on Yahoo, and it's hard for me not to click on some of the Yahoo things. They do such a good job of getting you to click on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
But usually they're just a bunch of crap hole, you know, articles that suck. And this one was really not too much different. This was a fast food employee's dish about the menu items you should never order. And it was basically from the internet, some people who work in fast food restaurants talking about some of the things that they think you should be aware of. For instance, this person here, Johnny Dollar, is what he calls himself on the internet. He said when he was a young buck, he worked at Burger King, and here's how the oil rotation went. You had four vats of oil that you cooked fries in, and boy, did you ever cook a lot of fries, tons of them. After about 2 days' worth, the oil got too dark for fries, so we switched it over to the ones for chicken. Since it was darker, it was okay. Then that goes on for about a week, and after a week of massive frying, the oil is black as motor oil. At that point, it switched to the fish fillet vat. That's the only thing you can cook in that vat. See, I'm not bothered by that. Maybe that's weird of me, but, you know, fried food is fried food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, yeah. So I'm not bothered by that. Another guy here calls himself Defunkatron. Awesome name. He says when he worked at McDonald's, he accidentally left a whole bag of about 100 chicken nuggets out on a counter for way too long. He says they melted into a pool of liquid. He never understood what happened or why that happened, but they were completely indiscernible as being the nuggets that he once knew.
Yeah. That's a lie.
It seems like it would be.
That's a lie. That one's a lie.
It sounds like it could be a lie, but I do know that the Chicken McNuggets were the easiest thing to steal when working at McDonald's, because I worked at McDonald's from the time I was 16 until I graduated from high school, and then I even came back my first Christmas in college and worked during Christmas, the Christmas holiday, for a month too. And so the Chicken McNuggets were in a drawer, and you could just kind of reach in the drawer and pretend like you were getting like six-piece nugget. Okay, let me grab six pieces of nuggets. Let me grab a couple extra in the old back fingers, and then I'll walk back into the walk-in cooler and throw them in your mouth because I'm hungry and I'm fat and I need to have something to eat. So they were pretty easy to snatch when you were working there. They say that sometimes you got to be careful with the ice cream. Ice machines and ice cream dispensers are also suspect because they can be hard to clean or don't get broken down or taken apart very often. This person named Lord Kira said that they'd been an employee for 4 years, completely stopped drinking ice cream from all fast food places as soon as they found out. Oh, they found a caterpillar-sized chunk of mold in the ice about a week after it was quote-unquote cleaned. So, let me see here. What else do we have? They see here that Wendy's recycles overcooked hamburgers into the next day's vat of chili. They say that that might be frugal, but it's not exactly completely horrible and unappetizing. And I never really thought about that. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Is that big a deal?
I don't think so. Is it? I don't really think so. I mean,
I don't have a problem with that one.
These leftover hamburgers.
Overcooked.
Well, yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with it? It's not like it's undercooked.
Exactly. Exactly. They said, too, that Chick-fil-A did something similar with their chicken salad. They would strip old chicken patties of their breading before chopping them up and mixing them in mayo, I guess, for their chicken salad.
Okay.
See, the thing about fast food that a lot of people probably don't understand is there are laws, quote unquote, that go. And when I worked at McDonald's, it was like you cook the food ahead of time based on how busy you think you're going to be or how busy you are. You'd put it in the little heater bin, and then at a certain, you put a little timer, a little number on it to tell you when that food is no longer any good. Now, the problem was that management was constantly watching how much waste you had, and you were supposed to write down all the waste. And so it was kind of this pull and tug of business where it's like you're wasting too much food. Okay, then I'm going to keep it here 5 minutes longer or 10 minutes longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you constantly had management bitching about how much food you were throwing away, so then you end up keeping it longer, and so hence the laws would kind of go out the door, because what's more important to you, keeping your job and keeping your boss happy, or giving two craps whether or not you keep a hamburger in the burner there for a couple of extra, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes or a half an hour, whatever it might be,
Right.
So at the end of the night, you do have to throw the stuff away at the end of the night. And that was when you could really get the food, because there'd be the French fries left in the French fry area. You got burgers still left up there. It was pretty much eaten clean when you had to close the place down at midnight or whatever time it was. And that stuff, though, would get thrown away for sure, because obviously you're not going to keep it till the next morning or the next day when they serve lunch again at 10:30 or 11 o'clock. You're going to throw that stuff away. Which brings me to my story real quick. It's a very brief story. It is a very dehumanizing story. It's not a flattering story about myself, but this is another true one. This is something that I did that I'm not proud of. I was in college in Lamar's, Iowa, my freshman year of school. I did some crazy, weird, stupid things. And this is not crazy, but it's people find it a little bit disgusting. Of course, I knew this thing about McDonald's and with the waste food. And, when you go to college, you're a little poor, and you don't have a lot of money. And, you're trying to conserve it because you need beer money, and stuff like that. So one night, me and some guys and I don't remember who the guys were now. I don't even think I hung out with the guys too much after that. Maybe there's a reason why. But we got the wild idea that instead of going inside to McDonald's and buy food late at night, drunk, we would just go ahead and get inside their dumpster.
Oh, no.
And pull out the garbage bag and hunt around for some quarter pounders with cheese that were just in the old,
Come on. Warmer. You didn't.
No, I did.
You dumpster dive for food?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Brad.
I know. I told you I'm not proud. Told you.
I'm hanging my head in shame for you.
I appreciate that because I'm holding my head high because I'm Walter White. Look, it's a true story. I did it one time. It didn't taste that bad, actually. But, you know, it wasn't bad. You know,
helps you sleep at
night. It was still in the container. It was still in. That was back when they wrapped the quarter pounders in cheese. They put them in the little boxes.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, it was, Todd, maybe you would do that?
I'm not getting in the ballpark with you on this.
You're not going to do that?
No.
Never?
No.
All right.
Barely any rat poop on it, right, Brad?
It wasn't in there long enough for rat poo. I think we watched him bring it out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm making stuff up now, but it seemed like we felt confident that we weren't eating like yesterday's garbage. You know, I was hungry, man. I was drunk.
All right.
I told you wouldn't be proud.
I'll give you it because you were drunk.
Thank you.
But that's disappointing.
I told you that I wasn't proud of this.
You shouldn't be. That's disturbing.
I'm going to tell another story just so that we can get off that. We don't want to end on that note. I feel bad now.
Kind of brought the room down with that one.
I did.
Y'all
it was terrible.
Less of you now.
I know. No, another thing that I constantly do is I forget things, and I've now set off the alarm at the office. You know, I stay at the office in Dallas when I'm there. I've got a bed there and everything, and I was coming home one night with my dinner. This is the second time I've done this, only this time it was for a different reason. And I'm coming inside with my dinner, and there's a guy out there who was also working, and he was leaving, and he goes, "Hey, working the late night." Well, I didn't want to sit there and explain to him that I actually stay here when I'm, you know, in town. So I just said, "Yeah," something like that. And I was just kind of thinking about him for a minute, just what else I could have said when I walked in the door, opened the door. And as I opened the door, of course, the alarm is set, so it's waiting for me to go in and punch the code in to tell it, "Yes, it's okay, it's me, I'm here." I brain farted. I could not remember, just as bad as not being able to remember my locker combination in high school, I forgot the alarm code. So at that point, little did I know that the alarm will start going off in about 15 seconds, something like that, maybe 30. The alarm starts going off. You know, alarms aren't quiet, okay? It scares the bejesus out of you. So then I'm trying to fumble open the office. I'm trying to get my keys out. I'm fumbling around trying to unlock the door because I know that I have the code right inside the door, inside a folder written down. But I just need to get in there and get it. I'm like 4721. No, 2 7. Keeps talking back at me, telling me it's the wrong thing. It was like a bad video game, you know. So I ran inside and I got the code out and I punched it in. Then, of course, I had to call the alarm company, and they called me and made sure that I was really me and everything else. And this is Jack Fowler, you know, and it was everything was fine after I told him who I was, you know. But brain fart.
No cops?
Yeah. No cops, thank God.
Ah.
No.
Ooh.
No. That actually happened. We actually had a panic button in there, too, that nobody knew was there. And William actually pushed that one night or one day during the day, and the cops had to come automatically, and it cost us $100. Just because he had no idea that's what it was. So he pushed it just for, you know, S words and giggle, you know, and it's like, you know, but anyway. So, Matt, three things. Please enlighten us.
Three thing recap. Number one, Brad's Breaking Bad walk officially has street cred.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Brad, you know, we've talked about me writing your your biography for you someday.
Mm-hmm.
For your first 40 years, it's going to be Pop Me Up, the BJ Bradley story.
Mm-hmm.
Next 40 years, part two for Brad Westmar, How to Spot a Gay.
That's right.
Like that?
I like it.
And number three, Randy's Guide to Asian Massage Parlors is proof that professional losers can write books too.
There you go. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be a loser. I got to cut this show off, don't I? That's terrible. Matt, thank you for being with us, my friend.
Thank you.
And Todd, of course, our executive producer. I am Brad Westmar saying thank you and good night.